bus appears empty except for the driver. I can see him, or maybe it's her, slumped over the wheel. That's the half in the fire, and I'd have to say the driver is DRT. Copy? DRT is a slang abbreviation the PSP picked up in the ERs back in the 70s. It stands for dead right there. Copy 14, Tony said. Can you get to where the kids are? Cough, cough, cough. He sounded bad. Roger, base. There's an access road runs alongside the soccer field, goes right to the building. Over. Then get in gear, Tony said. He was the best I ever saw him that day, as decisive as a general on the field of battle. The fumes turned out not to be all that toxic after all, and most of the burning was leaking gasoline, but of course none of us knew that then. For all George Stankowski knew, Tony had just signed his death warrant. And sometimes that's the job, yes. Roger, base. Rolling. If they're getting gassed, stuff them in your cruiser. Sit them on the hood and the trunk. Put them on the roof hanging onto the light bars. Get as many as you can. Copy that? Copy, base. 14 out. Click. That last click seemed very loud. Tony looked around. $29.99, you all heard it. Assigned units all rolling. Those of you waiting for switchover rides at 3, get Kojak lights out of the supply room and run your personals. Shirley, bend every duty officer you can raise. Yes, sir. Should I start calling ODs? Not yet. Huddy Royer, where are you? Here, Sarge. You're anchoring. There were no movie show protests about this from Huddy. Nothing about how he wanted to be out there with the rest of the crew, fighting fire and poison gas, rescuing children. He just said, yes, sir. Check Pogus County FD, find out what they're rolling, find out what Lassberg and Statler's rolling, call Pittsburgh OER, anyone else you can think of. How about Norco West? Tony didn't quite slap his forehead, but almost. Oh, you bet. Then he headed for the door. Kurt beside him, the others right behind them, Mr. Dillon bringing up the rear. Huddy grabbed his collar. Not today, boy. You're here with me and Shirley. Mr. D sat down at once. He was well trained. He watched the departing men with longing eyes, just the same. All at once, the place seemed very empty, with just the two of us there. The three of us, if you counted D. Not that we had time to dwell on it. There was plenty to do. I might have noticed Mr. Dillon getting up and going to the back door, sniffing at the screen and whining way back low in his throat. I think I did, actually, but maybe that's only hindsight at work. If I did notice, I probably put it down to disappointment at being left behind. What I think now is that he sensed something starting to happen out in Shed B. I think he might have even been trying to let us know. I had no time to mess with the dog, though, not even time enough to get up and shut him in the kitchen, where he might have had a drink from his water bowl and then settled down. I wish I'd made time. Poor old Mr. D might have lived another few years. But of course I didn't know. All I knew right then was that I had to find out who was on the road and where. I had to bend them west if I could and if they could. And while I worked on that, Huddy was in the SC's office, hunched over the desk and talking into the phone with the intensity of a man who's making the biggest deal of his life. I got all my active officers except for Unit 6, which was almost here. 20 base and a tick had been my last word from them. George Morgan and Eddie Jackaboy had a delivery to make before heading over to Poteenville. Except, of course, 6 never did get to Poteenville that day. No. Eddie and George never got to Poteenville at all.